welcome to A Few Goldilocks Bears podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about things we love, things that we hate, and things in the middle. This could be things that we're indifferent about, that we're ambivalent about, that we're on the fence about. These are the gray areas of life. These are the things that aren't in the black and white, that they don't maintain to your precious polar opposites.
Hello, this is Vincent Cloud.
This is John Nemitz.
And I'm David Lauer.
And let's hold our horses. Let's not just dive right back into our loves, hates, and indifferences. Let's look back fondly, gently, and talk about old topics in the segment that we call the Deja Fuse. Go ahead, Dave.
Wow, you really hit the nail on the head with fondly and gently with this topic. It's something that I don't like, and you don't like it either, Vince. You're talking about PDA, public displays of affection. I went to this thing at my church, and it was like a marriage, like connections in marriage, and like all these married couples went. And it was kind of like a team building exercise for your marriage and like how to work together, you know, and try and help the other person in your relationship out. And it was a fine message and all that. But the weird thing for me there was we're in church and there's married couples, and all the couples there are like handsy with each other. They're rubbing each other's shoulders, putting their hands on their wives' thighs and like rubbing thighs and like giving weird like half back massages. And I'm like, me and my wife don't do that. And I'm sitting there in church looking at all these people rubbing on each other. It's like, go home, get a room. Like, what are you doing here? Like, keep your hands to yourself. All right. We're in the house of the Lord right now. Like, could you please have some manners? And there was a couple right next to me and they were all handsy. And then we took like a 5-minute break, like a bathroom break. And when I came back, they were like bickering at each other, like quietly, like they had gotten into a fight. And then they stopped like touching each other, and I noticed it because they're sitting right next to me. And then like 20 minutes later, all of a sudden he starts inching his hand around her again and starts rubbing her shoulder, like trying to schmooze back up to her. And I'm like, why are you doing this, dude? Like, you're married. You don't need to like be all handsy. Like, I don't know. It was so uncomfortable for me.
Wow. So, like, did they tell you to do that, and you guys were like, pass, or did they tell you, like, just, you know, remember the first times of dating or something like that? Like, I don't know.
No, they were just, like, none of that was, like, appropriate for what was being talked about.
Oh,
like,
okay.
it was just about, like, every couple is in like a different season of their life. Maybe you just started off, maybe you've been married for 20 years and you have grandkids now. Everybody has a different season of life that they're in. And they're like, and you know, a good couple is a good team. It's John, quit rubbing
your
chest.
Sorry, just what you're saying.
I know. And it's just like teamwork. And it's just like, you know, I don't know. It was like the message was very like sports related, where like being a good team player, like try and anticipate the needs of the person that you're with, because then you can adequately help them. And like, just because you feel something, don't say something, because a lot of times if you're just feeling something negative, you'll say something and you'll be an asshole. Like, I don't know. It was, even though it was at church, it really, like, nothing of the message really was God related or centered around religion. It was just like, don't be an asshole and be a team player.
Did you get the impression that like that's just the vibe of that event every time, and just like everyone else was cool with it and was like, yeah, this is what we do at this thing, and like you were the odd ones out, or like were there other people who were weirded out by it? Or
I don't know. Like, part of me was looking for like a giant fishbowl with everybody's keys in it. We're gonna draw out the keys at the end. But then, like, I just kept waiting for the weird shoe to drop, and then like something strange to be happening. Like, oh, there's upside down pineapples. Oh, okay, something's going on here. I see what's going on, but I don't know. It was I don't know. I think maybe it's just like a lot of these couples are just at work all day long and they didn't see each other all day. But I don't know. Like, I don't do that with my, like, I wait until I get home. Like, I don't do that in public. It's just weird and it's awkward.
Do you think they felt pressure, like they were lying to themselves, like let's pretend that we still love each other, you know? Yeah.
I think there might have been some of that where people are trying to put off the public perception that they really love their partner, and they're like, oh, well, we just can't keep our hands off each other. We love each other so much. And it's like, I have nothing to prove. Like, I don't know. I'm not
Yeah,
that
like
way at
a
all.
keeping up with the Joneses, like, oh, you know, if we don't touch each other as m least as much as they do, they're gonna look like they won this thing.
Yeah. I bet you somebody in the front row touched somebody's thigh and then it just like caught like wildfire through the whole thing. And just everybody's like, oh, they're just rubbing shoulders. And pretty soon people are moaning and like people are kicking their shoes off, getting foot rubs.
That's what you got to do. You just got to like just take it to the absurd extreme.
Yeah. Why do you pop off your shoes? And all of a sudden just bust out a bottle of lotion. Don't mind us.
Okay, should we get the show started? Shall we? You know what? I'm gonna start this off with a hate, and I gotta admit, I was a little lazy this week. I'm like, oh, what can I have in my back pocket? I can easily throw this out. And that is my hate for TJ Lavin. He is the host for the MTV Challenge, and Dave, you'll probably hear nothing new. I've ranted and raved about this guy over years. We've talked about the challenge, but for everyone else, here we go. So I say, first and foremost, what should a good TV host have? Screen
Charisma.
presence, charisma,
Riz.
Riz, yes, that charm, you know, screen presence, something, right? He is not that. He is, first of all, he's a BMX rider, right? So he's an athlete, and not even that kind of an athlete. You know, he rides a bike or whatever, right? So they're like, okay, we need a host. We always get some fucking host, some, you know, whatever. They're mostly from sports, come to think of it. But he shows up and he's not that comfortable on camera. So like what he does, he adopts like this lame delivery. Like it's very like, oh, this is like you couldn't get hired to read the news sort of thing, you know? So it's like, well, as we all know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It's very like rehearsed, like the ups and downs of how he speaks is always the same. It's like, yeah, he's rehearsed this, but it's still not believable. I don't believe him. Like there's no life in his eyes either. Like there's so little presence. He seems kind of stoned and out of it sometimes. And as a person who is that as well, I don't like it in my host because it doesn't matter. It's not making the show any better. So he has like very little riz, right? The only time he comes alive is when he's pissed off. When someone wants to quit the challenge, then he's like, "All right, go ahead, bro. You know, see you. Hope I never see you again, or something like that. You know, like he'll say shitty things at people, and for some reason, fans and challengers are like, oh shit, he doesn't like quitters. And TJ sees that. And he's like, wait a minute, that's one thing that sticks out of me. I'm going to do more of that." So everyone knows TJ hates quitters, and I hate it when he brings up, he's like, as you all know, I hate quitters. And as you all know, I love the trivia. He is always bringing himself up about like things that we all should know. It's so stupid. So one of the worst things that
And the worst thing is that you do know those things.
but why bring it up? But like he's talking about himself almost in the third perfect person almost. But one of the worst things is there was once this spelling bee, and they had people over the water, and he was like, hey, spell this, and they got it wrong, and he fell, and he thought it was the most hilarious thing, and he started laughing a lot, right? And people liked it, Even I liked it. And then I think he and producers were like, holy shit, we just got to make this a thing. Every season, there's a trivia thing over the water, and TJ is going to laugh so over the top. He's sticking out his tongue. Like, no one thinks nothing's this funny. You know, I should have just made a clip of him and all his trivia shit. It's so over the top. I'm not buying it. You know, you could sometimes see the challengers. They're like, you know, tune it down there, dude. Teej. I'd never call him Teej. People call him Teej. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
I on the trivia thing, I have always loved the trivia episodes, but then sometime like 4 years ago, the laughing at the wrong answers became like a gimmick. And now trivia episodes are the worst because it's just a montage of him laughing at people falling into the water. And he's doing the same like canned laugh, like and he's just doing it the whole time. It like There'll be 16 clips of him cutting to him laughing, and it's so distracting. I can't enjoy the episodes anymore. It's just horrible.
I only have a few more things. So, one of the main things that I feel makes him not very professional is that he's friends with competitors because these competitors don't like, you know, they're not recast every season. No, they could show up for like 18 seasons and stuff like that, right? So he's been around for that long. Like he's done so many because they film like two a year, right? So he'll eventually become friends, and then he's totally biased. He fucking like cheers on for certain people, for certain other people. Like when they win, they're like, hey, good job. You know, like it's so fucking weird. And then he's actually helped people. This is one of the worst ones. So it was like this big, dumb dude named Josh. And then there was Jordan, who was like smaller, but he's smart and agile and quick, right? So TJ Lavin, he goes up there, he's like, okay, here are the rules. It's basically tug of war. And he looks at Josh, he's like, so what you could do is you could either pull him off his stage, and then he looks and turns to Jordan, or you could get your opponent to fall or something like that, right? So like he literally just told Jordan, like, this is how to do it and stuff. And that's how Jordan won. He got Josh to fucking fall over and stuff. And there's so many other things, but go ahead, you guys. How do you guys feel about TJ? Out Dave, you already know, but yeah.
Yeah, I'll jump in and say this is the first time I had ever heard of this gentleman. And I looked up a couple clips and yeah, just kind of very bland. And I definitely see what you're talking about. And like looking at his Wikipedia, like seems like most of the stuff he's been involved with is challenge related, although it appears he did something or another in Cribs, MTV's Cribs once or twice. I don't know if he was a host or if he would just showed up as at like if they were at like one of his buddies' houses or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, it definitely doesn't seem like someone I'd want to base a franchise around.
Anything new,
Yeah,
Dave? Like you've heard most of this before.
I think it's very telling that when they do a challenge reunion show, TJ is not hosting the reunion
Oh,
show.
yeah.
They always bring in a celebrity like Maria Menounos or like who are some of the other ones? Like they'll get like some faux celebrity to like host it, or like The Miz would be a host sometimes. Somebody with personality, because TJ just can't do that. I don't think he has like the wit or the tact to be able to like just come up with questions on the fly. Like that's not him at all. I've argued in the past that like TJ's not that bad because to me he's just like in the background of the show. Like he's there, but he does add nothing, that's for sure. But like sometimes hosts will be too big and like try to add too much, where it's like, no, just let the people on the show be the characters and you just be in the background. So, like, I'm kind of okay with him in that sense. And I do sympathize with him because the producers of this show, I think, are just terrible. And they don't know what's going on half the time. And they don't have clearly defined rules for a lot of the challenges and missions that they have to do. So TJ is explaining the rules, but very vague and not really telling everyone like the strict parameters that they have to play within. So then when the players are playing, they're like, should we do this? Should we do this? Are we allowed to do this? They don't know. So then they start doing something, and then like a producer off screen is like, you're not allowed to do that. And they scream that at them. They're like, oh, I don't know. Like, well, you didn't tell us. So I feel like the producers are really bad, and that shows through TJ. But what's working against TJ is I love the show Survivor, and Survivor has Jeff Probst, and he, I think, is a, he's the best host of like a reality TV show there is.
Oh, shit.
And like in Tribal Council, he's asking everybody all of these amazing questions, and if he doesn't get an answer he does like he doesn't agree with or he doesn't like, he'll ask like to, you know, he'll go to everybody else like, well, would you guys say this? How would you frame this? Is this really what's going on here? Like he's so intuitive into like the game and the relationships that are going on between the characters on the sh on Survivor. It's amazing. And Jeff also, when they're like doing a challenge, he'll be running right next to like the obstacle course, and he's doing play by play live as it's happening. And at first, I was annoyed by it, but it's really kind of brilliant. Like him like narrating everything that's going on as it's going on, but he doesn't over talk. Like he'll know when to be silent and when to say something. Like, because the problem with too many hosts or announcers is they're just talking the whole time, but he knows when to cut it back, and that's there's a really good skill in that.
So you like that guy. John, do you is there a TV host that you like?
Well, I was actually, while we were talking about this, I was thinking about when we talked about Chopped. I think we were all talking about
Oh
how like
yeah.
Ted Allen was such a good host for that. Like he knows when to step back, but like when he has something to add that nobody else has said, he'll bring it up, and like it's always like very insightful, and like you know, like that's a show where there's like a countdown timer, and he'll like you know, like he'll calmly end the timer. He's not like spazzing out or anything, and like I don't know, he's someone I think who's really good. And you know, there's like game show hosts, but that's kind of a different thing because, you know, you're just like, I mean, it is good to be charismatic and everything, and but like there's more of a kind of a script to that thing, so that maybe that's not the same thing. But yeah, I don't watch a lot of reality type TV other than like cooking competitions, so I don't really have a lot of good examples. Like all I can think of are like game show hosts or that type of thing.
Okay, so like I said, I was being lazy and I was like, I know everything TJ's ever done. But then I was thinking back, I'm like, no, I have very broad strokes. But there are so many occasions where I'm like, oh, TJ, shut up, you know? So he, during a trivia thing, he asks a question and this person gets it, right? And then he's laughing at her and he's like, such a stupid answer. And I stop. I'm like, TJ, you asked the fucking question. Oh my God. Like, I can't get over how stupid this man is and like just inept. And he's been on the show forever and people call him Tej and like, oh, it wouldn't be the challenge without him. I'm like, no. Just like when, and I say this all the time, just like when, what's his name, died in Cuba. What's his name? Fidel Castro. People under his rule, they were like crying. They're like, oh my God, we don't know anything else. That's how I feel about TJ. He's just been around forever. He's not actually good. You're just used to him being there. Whew, all right.
Yeah, and that like the challenge has had a couple different hosts. So like one of the spin-off season challenge versus Stars or Pros, they had Victor Cruz, who is just like an NFL wide receiver, with no experience at all, and he did just as good, if not better, than TJ. And he had no experience. But they never brought him back. I don't know why they never brought him back.
Yeah, they replaced him with The Miz, but that was cool too, though. Former challenger, right? Oh my gosh, the stupid AI. Okay, I Googled TJ. I'm like TJ concerns or something like that, or criticisms into the Google, and it was like AI, and they're like pros, cons, or whatever, and they're like, well, considering he's a former challenge competitor, it's cool that he's hosting. And I'm like, wrong, stupid AI. He's never been on the show. Yeah, fucking weird.
That's AI, and soon will be contributing to that false narrative.
All right, segue challenge. Well, I think the best way to do another segue is to actually, oh, he retapes a lot of it. A lot of his stuff is overdubbed. Like within sentences, it'll like, blah, 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 and then it's a different take, and then he'll finish the sentence in a different take. That's how bad he is. My gosh. Anyways, go ahead, Dave.
I want to talk about something I love, and I love the TV show Lost. Lost, it came out in 2004. It's about the plane that crashes on a island in the middle of the Pacific, like an unknown small island. And we have like all these different characters who just didn't know each other, and they just crash land on this island. There's a lot of survivors, and then they're on this mysterious island and they're getting to know each other, and just mysterious things start happening. There's like weird noises and whispers in the woods, and there's like weird smoke monsters moving around. Some people even see like other people on the island, and they're called the Others, and they're like these mysterious people who have been there before. And it's just there's tons of mysteries to the show. I love it so much for so many different reasons. There's so much to talk about with this show. One of the things I love is just the cast. There's tons of people in the cast, tons of great performances, actors, actresses. There's very few cast members that I don't like. Like almost everybody is really good. And I love it's 6 seasons long. The last season was not very good. The third season was like during the writer strike, and the third season was a little long and tedious because they were kind of dragging their feet there. But like the first and second season, I think were masterpieces and perfect television. The fourth and fifth season were also amazing, and like every episode, it would have what's happening on the island, and then they would focus on one character, which could be like Jack, the doctor, and it would have a flashback to what he was doing before he got on that plane. And like, so you learned about like his life at home. So they would have the flashbacks, and that was always an awesome part of it. And as the seasons went on, we're watching like a season, and we're like, man, these flashbacks are really weird. I'm kind of confused. And like none of them really made sense, and you're trying to like fit them into a timeline with the other flashbacks you've seen of those characters, and then you find out at the finale episode that every flashback from that season was actually in the future, and it was all them after they got off the island. And you're like, your mind is blown. And like these shock value moments that this show offers up is just unlike anything else, where you're just like everything you thought you knew, you're like, whoa, this changes everything. I need to rewatch that entire season because all of these little things that didn't add up, once you know, like, oh, this happens in the future, then it makes you realize, well, damn, they're gonna get off the island now. How are they? And we're gonna find out in the next season. And there's like a million different little mysteries that happen on the island, weird little connections between characters. There's a whole like mythology to this show of like man of science and man of faith. And you have like Jack, who's a doctor, who's the man of science and rational thought. And then you have John Locke, who is all about destiny. And he was a man of destiny because he was paralyzed in a wheelchair. But then once the plane crashed, he suddenly could walk again. And he was like, it was my destiny to be here, and now I can walk again. So he looks at everything through this point of view, and then they have like all these like dilemmas, and it's like man of science, man of faith, and like it's all about, in a lot of this show, there's tons of time travel stuff too that I love. And with the time travel, there's lots of like destiny stuff where you have free will, and it's like free will versus destiny, that type of stuff where it's like you can do whatever you want to do. However, the universe will kind of course correct for the characters and change things. So if they try to stray off their path, certain things will happen to them, which bring them back. And it's like, this is what the island wanted. This is what destiny wanted for you. You can try to avoid death, Charlie, but you're gonna die. And you can, like, he tries to avoid it for episodes and episodes, but eventually he realizes that, like, he's going to die. And no matter what he does, he's gonna meet his fate. And there's so many like cool like wrinkles into the episodes with the time travel in like the last three seasons, where people like they'll time travel on the island and they'll go back to like the 50s, and they'll give like a watch to a person on the island, and then that person will give that watch to John Locke when he's a boy. And then when he crash lands on the island, he gives that watch after he time travels back to that other person. And then it just becomes a loop. And there's different ways that they represent this for other characters, because the island is like this mysterious thing in the ocean that jumps between time and space, and it's not bound by like natural laws of physics that you would learn from Einstein. And it's so like weird and mysterious in so many different ways. And then like the whole time you're trying to figure out, did they die when they crashed there? Are they still alive? Are they in purgatory? And like in the end, like you kind of like are trying to come up with your theories the entire time you're watching the show. And so some of the criticisms is that like they offer up tons of questions, but they don't really answer all the questions. And that's a totally valid criticism of the
Hear,
show.
hear, hear, hear.
Yeah. And but like the show as a whole is really awesome, and I've watched it a bunch. I love it. The last season kind of stunk, but the final two-part episode of the finale was amazing. I thought it did a really great thing. It was really pulled down by the like previous eight episodes. It was like 10 episodes that final season, and they kind of just dragged their feet until the final episode, which was really unfortunate. But it has a lot of parallels to my other favorite show, Game of Thrones, where there's just you have a huge ensemble cast with tons of different characters, and all these characters get to interact with each other in awesome ways. But then ultimately, like the creators become in real life, they want to move on to other projects, and like J.J. Abrams did with this show, just like Dan and Dave with Game of Thrones, they move on to other projects, and they and like or George R.R. Martin, who won't finish writing his books. But it's such a cool show. I love it. Have you guys, I know Vince, you've watched it some. I'm not sure if you've ever seen it, John.
Yeah, I watched the entire show like, I don't know, 12, 15 years ago. I remembered extremely little of it. So I watched like a recap YouTube video of like the first couple seasons of it. And I'm like, man, this stuff is insane. I don't remember any of this. Like all I really remembered was like obviously the setup of the show, how they got there and stuff. And then like basically vaguely that there was stuff involving like they found the hatch on the island and is this island controlling stuff outside in the real world and all that stuff. And yeah, I really enjoyed watching it. Just because all the mysteries and stuff in it were really interesting, but the lack of closure and answering any of the mysteries just made like kind of left a bad taste in my mouth and maybe not really like definitely never watch it again, nor even like give it that much thought anymore because it's just like, oh, they posited all these cool things, but then, like, I mean, you can talk about like what are the possibilities, but you don't know enough about the rules and how stuff actually ends up working to really dig into it enough in the way that I would want to anyway. One thing that did stick out to me watching the recap is the guy in the videos for the Dharma Initiative. I don't know if you guys watched the Expanse sci-fi series that came out, but that he was one of the main guys in that, so I appreciated him from that. That's all.
Okay. I know the actor. Yeah, I've seen him in other stuff and I'm always like, "Oh, that's the guy." Yeah.
okay, so I did enjoy Lost for a while, like that. Yeah, the first and second seasons for sure, and then of course that third season where it's like the writer's strike. They're in those cells the entire time, in those jail cells. I couldn't stand it as a writer. I just could like I don't even know if I knew about the writer's strike, but as a writer, I'm like, oh, this is they are spinning their wheels. Like it just drove me nuts. And I was already at that moment about the mysteries where I'm like, okay, this is just random though. If you can't explain it, I have no interest. You know, like that really kind of stuck in my craw or whatever. So I never really finished the show. For research though, I went to season 5 and watched an episode, and okay, so I was enjoying it, and then it's like flash forward 35 years. I'm like, what? What is going on? I was so utterly confused. And you have the same actor in, you know, in the 70s, I think. And then they show him 35 years later into the future, and he hasn't aged at all. So that threw me off as well. I didn't mind the performances. John Locke is like my favorite character, right? Although watching this so far ahead, like in season 5, right? I haven't watched since 3. I was like, oh, things haven't really changed. John Locke shows up, he's cool, and but then he's cryptic. And people say, like, John, I haven't seen you in 3 years. Where have you been? And he's like, well, that's a story for another time. You're like, no, just tell me right now. It's these unnecessary mysteries, you know? And then they're like, okay, we're going to go over here. And then they go over there. Like, you know, later in the episode, they're like, now that we're here, I actually can't do anything here. Like, what? Then why did we get here? There's this mystery upon mystery, like two
Vince,
steps forward, one step back.
I will tell you the mystery of John Locke. They hadn't seen him in 3 years, and then all of a sudden he was back. It was because he committed suicide and he was dead. And then they brought him back to the island and it revived him and he was alive again.
He could have told me that when they asked him,
Yeah.
hey, I
But
haven't
the thing
seen
is,
you in 3 years.
he's not really himself. He doesn't have his soul anymore. He's kind of possessed by the dark energy of the island
Why not? Just
because
add 7
there's.
more things. I don't really care anymore.
Because there's basically the island is controlled by like two like deities, Jacob and his brother Uso, I think,
Right,
and
Jacob.
the man in yeah the guy, the man in black and the man in white, and they're playing a game of like trying to figure out whether humanity is good or evil. And they don't want to, they want to let people choose whether they're going to be good or evil. And it's like this game of chess that they play between these brothers. And the smoke monster was actually the bad guy. But then it becomes very convoluted and it's not very well defined exactly who these entities are or like what the hell it all means. But it's just they would just add layers and layers and layers of confusion onto everything. So they would answer a mystery with more mysteries. And that was the problem with the show, is they just kept offering up more mysteries instead of answers.
Yeah, so overall though, I don't want to trash this because you do love it, and I did love it. Like I said, I did, those first 2 seasons were so great. So have you heard the creators talking about their main inspiration, Twin Peaks? Have you heard that at all?
I know that they were fans of it. I remember in the, like the DVD commentaries, they would mention that show a lot.
Yeah. Hardcore. John, would you agree? Like, they took a lot from Twin Peaks?
Yeah, I could definitely see that for sure.
You got the randomness and you have the mysteries, but also, and then the giant ensemble, right? But also, you just mentioned like Jacob and his brother or whatever. That sounds a bit like White Lodge, Black Lodge, John, doesn't it? Is that kind of similar as well?
Yeah, I mean it's definitely the two sides of the same energy kind of thing. And is it Jacob and Esau? Because that's like a biblical story. Like those are
Yeah.
brothers in the Bible.
It seemed like they were trying to draw like a parallel to that because there was like the light, you know, which is the good side, and then the dark of like the shadow, the absence of light, which is kind of like, you know, Jesus is the light, and then darkness is hell, kind of that type of thing.
Yeah, I guess like I don't mind mysteries not getting resolved as long as it feels like there was some sort of like planning to it and that it's like following some larger set of rules and some larger structure versus just like stuff that's just put in for the sake of being cool, but not necessarily being thought out to fit the larger overall plan, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, this show it suffers from that. It was a lot like Game of Thrones, where you had so many characters, and there's only few characters on the show where it seemed like they had a destiny and they reached their destiny and it was planned all along, where they have like a coherent trajectory the entire season or series. Like Hurley had a good trajectory. John Locke, he started off great, but then it really went sideways for his character. Jack, the doctor, it kind of went sideways, but then they kind of course corrected at the end and they made it good. But yeah, with so many different characters, a lot of their endings kind of fell flat because it was like they didn't have anything to do with them. Like Saeed and Jin and Sun are amazing in the first half of the show, but then towards the end, it was like the writers had nothing for them and they just dragged their feet until it was over.
Yeah.
But some of the concepts are really cool philosophically, like, you know, the whole thing in the bunker, like typing in the number every however many minutes, like, you know, if you come across that situation, like, do you have a moral obligation to continue that? Like, assuming you believe it's true, which there's plenty of reason to be skeptical about that. Like, John Locke certainly took it seriously.
all those Yellowstone National Park visitors, they needled Faithful to go off.
Exactly. Yeah, I loved In the Hatch, like a lot of those scenes where they captured the guy in the woods, Henry Gale, and he's completely saying like I was on a balloon with my wife and we crashed here. Meanwhile, like he was living on the island and been there since he was a boy, but he's lying to them. And like Benjamin Linus, that character was so good, and his acting is just phenomenal. And he's so convincing that you, as the viewer watching it the first time, you're like, I think I believe him. And you know, the characters are trying to decide whether they should believe him or not. And like some of that was so good.
That's the he's kind of got bug eyes, that shorter dude who's always like, yeah, he says everything with such gravitas, I don't know, conviction or whatever. So even if he's bullshitting you, you're just like, yes, that's exactly how the world works. Yeah, he does have that power. Yeah, for sure. Like, that's what I remembered when I started watching that one random episode. What do they do with, is it Michael and Walt? The dad and son? What happens there? Nothing, is it? Oh my gosh, I
No,
hate it.
nothing good. Nothing good.
Oh,
It's
really?
that's one of the biggest letdowns in the show. Like, Walt gets off the island, he's safe. Michael leaves the island, and then at some point, somebody else who leaves the island, it might have been Jack or somebody, reaches them outside of the island, is like, "Hey, you guys have to go back." And Michael's like, "No, I'm not going back." But then somehow his son like goes missing or something, and then he has to go back to try and find his son again. We're like, this shit just happened 4 seasons ago. Why is this happening again? And it was weird because of like the writer strike went on so long, and Walt went from being like a 10-year-old to being like a 15-year-old who had grown like 8 inches, and he was now 6 feet tall and looked like a man instead of a boy. And it was just like, oh, this is the same kid. Shit, like he, it's been a long time since we've seen his character.
Well, then
But yeah, that was a.
but all they have to do is like, oh, there's a pocket of time, and that's where Walt was sitting. You know what I mean? Like that's the way they worked with the writing. It was just like, sure, why not? You know, like every like when you explain Locke, you're like, oh, he's been dead for 3 years by suicide. Like, okay, and then something happens, an explosion, he's back to life. It was someone's dream. Like you could tell me anything. That was how weird Lost was. You know, like,
Yeah,
and
because
I don't want to. I don't, I really, I'm not trying to trash it too much because I do remember like being swept up in all that shit, all the mysteries and stuff, like the smoke monster. But yeah, as a writer, it frustrated me a lot.
I still love it though. It's great. Like it's I it has tons of faults, but like I will still love it because of the awesome characters. But on rewatches, I avoid certain seasons for sure. There's certain seasons that I want to watch and certain ones I will always avoid. And there's certain characters, like my Mount Rushmore of the episode or the characters I love. John Locke is on my Mount Rushmore. He's awesome. And then Desmond Hume is on my Mount Rushmore. And then I would say Desmond was the guy in the hatch who was
Okay,
pushing
okay.
the button.
Yeah.
He has a lot more prominent role in the later seasons, so if you didn't watch those, you wouldn't know. And then Benjamin Linus, the who was Henry Gale, the guy in a balloon who they were interrogating in the hatch.
Oh, right.
He was the leader of the others. He's on my Mount Rushmore. And then the last guy would be Sawyer. I started off hating the guy because he's just an asshole, but his character got so good in seasons 4 and 5 and 6. He was like, Jack had fallen off and Sawyer stepped up and became like the leading man of the show, and he was phenomenal.
Shit. Doesn't him and Jamie Lannister look like exactly the same? Like I was like,
Oh
what am I watching here?
yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I get their names like mixed up, and when I see one of their names, I think of the other person.
Yeah. So odd. All right, segue challenge. What is that?
Every 108 minutes, we got to push the button and push all the
That
numbers into it, and then we'll get a new topic.
Go ahead, John.
All right. I am on the fence about this thing p kids are doing these days, raw dogging boring experiences. I've mainly heard this about like, oh, I'm on a 5-hour flight and I'm going to raw dog it, which means you're basically sitting there with no headphones, no tablet, you're not looking at your phone, you're not looking at the movie display in front of you. You're just, if you can avoid it, you're not even like getting up to go to the bathroom. You're just like sitting there with your thoughts. You're not reading a book. You're not doing anything. You're just basically trying to experience the entirety of that time with no outside entertainment. And like I that's like the opposite of how I live. Like I usually like when I wake up in the morning, I usually have my headphones on playing a podcast before I even like put my glasses on in the morning. I'm just
Nice.
like always like listening to a podcast or music or watching a show or doing something. Like And you know, like a lot of people joke, like I don't want to be left alone with my own thoughts. It's horrible or whatever. But like that doesn't bother me. Like I've spent plenty of time doing that, but there's just like a lot of stuff that I want to see or watch or listen to that I just almost feel like you're wasting time if you're not consuming some kind of media, which maybe that's its own problem in of itself. But you know, I remember like we were kids before everyone had a phone on them all the time, and you know, you'd go somewhere with your parents and they would have to run inside and you'd be sitting in the car for half an hour or something and the radio sucked and like you're literally just trying to figure out a way to like entertain yourself. And you know, like I remember like trying to play like the noticing game. Like I'm sitting here in silence, what can I just notice about the world around me? Like, oh, there's two light poles over there. That's interesting. Oh, wow. That building has 112 bricks that I can see. That's pretty cool. Like, I mean, I guess like maybe if you've lived a life where you never actually had to be bored, maybe it's worth doing it as a novel experience. But I, you know, at this age in my life, which I wouldn't lie about, I don't feel the need to purposely do that anymore.
Have you heard of this before, Dave?
A little bit. Yeah, like I've heard of it, like, yeah, go on a walk outside, go on a hike, don't listen to headphones, don't have music playing, just be you in nature. And anybody who has gone on like a hike, like an extensive hike, and has done it with no music and then has done it with music, doing it with music is so much better. It's literally like a soundtrack for your life. Like it's amazing. Like I cannot go to the gym or do any type of exercise or mow my yard without listening to music. Like I had to have some kind of music playing, and like I can do it without, but it's noticeably worse. And it's like if I need to think about something, like I kind of have all my ducks in a row with my life. There's not a whole lot of shit that I really need to like mull over and think through. Like I think like a time of reflection, if you're going through something in your life where you really like need to meditate and think and like, am I gonna make the right decision? Then yes, like you should take time and think things through. But I got nothing going on to think about other than like, oh man, I wonder if the Packers are gonna sign another free agent. Man, like the Vikings signed a lot of good players. I hope the Packers keep up. Like that's what's going on in my head. Like I don't really have any, otherwise I can go through like the to-do list in my head of things that I haven't gotten around to in 10 years. Like I have heard, I thought this topic was going to kind of go in a different direction where people, I remember like certain people calling it raw dogging when they're like, I went through COVID and I went through like almost going through like all this inflation and almost going through World War III and all this, and I'm just raw dogging it. I'm not on any antidepressants. I don't drink or I don't smoke. I'm just raw dogging life without any prescriptions or drugs of any kind. Like that's the raw dogging I was kind of thinking of.
Oh, yeah, I hadn't heard of that. I can totally see it now that you're saying that. And yeah, that's not what I meant at all.
Yeah. And like, I know I've gone on like long road trips and I was listening to podcasts for like 10 hours straight. And for like the last hour and a half home, I legit sat in my truck in silence. And I was like, I felt like there was just too much going on and I was just tired. And like, I would always just zone out. Maybe it was just because I was tired. I was like zoning out and not paying attention to what I was listening to. So it was not enjoyable anymore. And I was like, I'm not. And then I'd switch to music. And then I'm like, you know what? Maybe I just turn the radio off and drive in silence. Because I remember when I was a kid, my dad would drive everywhere in silence. He wouldn't even turn on the radio. And he'd be like, "Dad, can I please turn on the radio? Like, this is so quiet in the car. Like, please."
Would he oblige? Like, would he turn it on, or is like, no?
Sometimes, but then, like, he would turn it down a little bit, like when you weren't noticing, and then you're like, "I can't hear it anymore. Turn it up."
That's funny.
It's basically if they play commercials, it's like, "Oh, let me turn it down for the commercials," and then he just never turns it back up.
Oh my
Ah,
God.
classic.
Yeah, his little tricks. Well, when I first heard of when I first read this, I'm like, so Putty from Seinfeld, isn't that what he did? Like, Elaine broke up with him because
Yeah,
he would just
on
stand
the
there.
flight.
Yeah. Yeah,
She's
and
like, "Don't
then
you want a book or a magazine? Not even the pamphlet?" "No, I'm good."
that's great. Well, I man, I always have some sort of stimuli going, like for a while, like last month, I would wake up first thing in the morning, jump on the treadmill, and have some Columbo playing. And that was some awesome stuff. Yeah. And then if I'm in the shower, I have a podcast going on. I'll listen to music or a podcast when I'm playing UFC 3. Yeah, I like to multitask, and I don't know if that's made my attention span shorter, maybe, but because I barely watch movies, although that might have been the decision a long time ago. But yeah, I don't know. But yeah, raw dogging, boring experiences. Yeah, I guess. I figured that's what people do now. Like meditation. Isn't meditation still a big thing to people? That's raw dogging, right?
Yeah, I was kind of thinking about that too, but that seems more like intentional, I guess.
Okay.
But I guess, I mean, it's pretty similar. Like, what else are you doing? Like, if you're sitting on an air in an airplane between two people, like you're not hurting them. So if you're just sitting there, like, I guess I don't know how that's significantly different from meditation.
Wow, it's weird.
Like, I was out in the woods back in November deer hunting, and I'm sitting there, and like after 10 minutes I'm like, "I can't do this. This is so boring." Like, I put in my headphones, started listening to a podcast, then I'm like, "Okay, I'm like, this is better. I'm like, I can sit here in the woods for 2 hours straight if I'm listening to a podcast." But like, it's otherwise I'm just staring off into the abyss, like, "Oh, I don't see anything. It's freaking cold." I'm like, I'm just thinking in my head, "I'm freezing right now. It's 10 degrees outside." But like, if I'm listening to a podcast, my mind is like active, and I'm not thinking about like, "Oh, I wish I could stretch my legs out," or, "This person next to me kind of smells." Like, it's a distraction from like the little things that you don't like that are going on and make it tolerable.
Yeah, I mean, like, podcasts have made me not mind doing chores. Like, I don't mind doing the dishes or mowing the lawn or whatever because I'm listening to a thing I'm interested in.
Hopefully we are someone's stimulant. Yeah.
I just want to be your stimulant.
Yeah, let me be your stimulant. All right. I think that's the show. Goodbye, everyone. If you want to
Bye.
subscribe, fine. If you want to go to some website with our name on it, fine. Do it.
If you want to never listen to us or any other podcast again because you're raw dogging life, fine.
Raw dog us. I mean, yeah.
I
Anything, Dave? How do you like your dogs? Ketchup? Relish?
cooked.
I'm good. No raw dogs for me. Well done, please.
Right. Tell them about the email, John.
Oh, well, like, we're sick of coming up with our own topics, so get these lazy listeners and viewers to help us out a bit. So if you have something that you love, hate, or are indifferent to, send an email to topics@afewgoldilockbears.com. We'll put a link in the show notes here and tell us what you love, hate, or are indifferent to and why. And maybe we'll talk about it on the show.